Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the Redeemer of mankind. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior who arose from the dead. Everyone else who has ever come professing himself to be a Savior of man has died, and his body has seen dust, gone back to corruption. But Christ Jesus the Lord, the Son of God, died, got up from being dead by his own power. He was raised from the dead by God the Father. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. And he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we have the message of hope for the world. The resurrection of Christ is our hope. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we of all people are most miserable. Let's continue with a thought today on our program, and that is that of obedience. Obedience. Everybody is a servant to someone or something. Several days ago, a lady asked me about this matter of being a servant. And the question was, where in the Bible does it say that we are going to be slaves? Well, the answer to that question is found in the book of the Revelation and chapter 22. And the word is this, in verse 3, his servants shall serve him. The word is his slaves shall serve him. We will serve him as slaves. Now, he is not a cruel taskmaster. Someone will say, but I don't want to be that. Well, what do you want to be? You want to be your own God? You want to be a God? That's the lie Satan presents. That's what he told in the Garden of Eden. He said, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, you determine. You be your own God, and you set up what is right, and you set up your world. And that's found in Genesis chapter 3. Satan says, you be the God you choose to be. But no, you didn't make yourself. You can't make yourself live any longer than what God has decreed that you shall live. You can't live where God says you will not. You can't cross over the boundaries and the borders that God sets. You are limited. And you will only leave this world when God says it's time for you to leave. You can't even take your own life from you. God's got a way of showing you that he's in charge. You are in subjection. You are a servant to God's laws. Your heart beats. You have to drink water. You have to eat food. You have to breathe air. You have to do these things. You have to do them. Men leave the earth and go on space trips. And they take with them all the food they need, that they think they'll need for the trip. They'll have to come back to the earth to get more food. They are slaves to this world. And they are slaves to the things that God has made that we shall live on. You can't live off of sand. You can't live off of precious metals. You have to live off food. God has decreed that. You are a servant, whether you want to accept that or not. You are going to be a servant in eternity. The man in hell was saying, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Send him to tell my brothers. He was wanting to rule there in hell, but he couldn't. And he was a servant to the conditions that he was placed in. But God's servants are going to serve him, and we need to obey him today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time that we can have on the radio. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that thou wouldest bless many today. Bless us afresh with a sense of thy presence for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, please, let's go to the book of Exodus. We've been looking at the response that Moses had when he came down off the mount and he found the people standing around worshiping the golden calf. They were being led in their worship service by Moses, by Aaron, rather, Moses' brother. And when Moses sees the people down dancing, this is what he finds in verse 25 of Exodus chapter 32. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And I think we pointed out on the previous program that religious perversity always leads people to worship their body in pleasure. And that's exactly what happened. Even in Paul's day in Corinth, there were people who, or women who had given themselves, and men, I suppose, who were called temple prostitutes. And this kind of thing has existed down through the ages, where when people don't have God in their right, in his right place, they will worship the creature, man. They will worship the creation that God has made. And they will be left to themselves to do all kinds of perverse things. If you do not worship the one holy God of heaven, then you're going to find yourself a servant to your own vile, wicked, sinful nature. Aaron had made these people naked to their shame among their enemies. That is quite a statement there. To be at shame and yet to be called God's people and to be shamed before their enemies. Who were these enemies here? Who were these that were supposed to be the enemy of God's people? Well, I'm sure there were some who came out. See, there was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. There were people who did not believe in the one true God. There were people who did not serve the living Lord. There were people who did not have their faith in God. There were people who were trusting in the God of Egypt, this bull that they had their hope and trust in this golden calf, which was a symbol of this God's presence. Now, they had to make this thing to worship, and I'm sure they were very proud of it, that they had done something with their hands, and this was what they've done, the works of men. You know, that's the way man is. He is so proud of what he does. He builds a sandcastle on the seashore, and he looks back and he says, "Look what I've done." And a little tide, a little wave comes in and washes it away. And he thinks, what has he done? That's the way men build their lives, on things that they build up. And the Lord lets them go through all of that effort, let them use all of the wisdom that he's given to them. Let them use his property and build something on that they're going to worship. When it's all said and done, less than a breath of air wipes it away. Men ought not to trust in these things, but they do. And those of us who are trusting Christ, we're trusting in one who can never die, who will live forever, the one who made all things, the one who has all power in his hands. This is the one that we're trusting. And Moses sees these people naked to their shame, worshiping a golden calf. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. So a choice was made, an opportunity was presented, and certain ones made the choice to come over to the Lord's side. Aaron was from that tribe of Levi. You know, it looked like, now just think about this, Aaron being from the tribe of Levi, and Aaron being the one responsible for this, and looked like the people would have thought, now, Aaron is the one who led us in this worship. I don't want to be on his side. But that wasn't the option. Who is on the Lord's side? If he had said, "Who's on Aaron's side?" I'm sure many would have joined his side. But who is on the Lord's side? And so indeed, you have the understanding that the choice was made, that they were trusting in the Lord, that the Lord would receive them. Moses asked the question. Verse 27, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So there were a great number who died at this command of Moses and at the judgment of the hand of God. God moves. He waits, he watches, and at his own time, the stroke falls. The stroke strikes. And that's what happened here. The men were guilty. God saw them, and he dealt with every one of them. 3,000. And then after he did this, in verse 29, for Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Now you set yourselves apart to God. You set yourselves apart unto God. They had set themselves apart unto this golden calf. Now it's time for them to set themselves apart unto God. What will you do? Who have you set yourself apart unto? You have indeed set yourself apart unto someone or something. Have you consecrated yourself, given yourself abundantly to God? Have you filled your heart and mind with a desire to serve him? Have you abandoned yourself unto God, unto him? You know, if I the thought came to my mind about how people abandon babies, and sometimes they will abandon the baby in what they think is a good place, and hopefully someone will come out and take that child. And it's a sad thing to abandon a child. It's a wicked thing to do so. There are proper ways to do this kind of thing, to turn a baby over to someone who can take care of and help the child. But there are those who will abandon a child, their own flesh and blood. Now, I ask of us, we are concerned about ourselves. Let us abandon ourselves unto God. As much as we love ourselves, let us consecrate, turn ourselves over to God and walk away from ourselves and leave ourselves in the hand of God. Now that's where your place of safety is. Consecrate yourself unto God. Do that today. Give yourself over now to him, even as he speaks to your heart about the fact that you belong to him. Do that now. Our Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that thou wouldest speak to some heart today, that someone may give himself or herself fully to Christ to be used of God for God's service, for Jesus' sake. And in his name we ask these things. Amen.